What's the status of the science vessel?
En route. But we have a potential security breach. Clone Force 99 infiltrated the orbital station with former Vice Admiral Rampart.
Where are they now?
They fled aboard a stolen shuttle when the science vessel departed. They could be tracking it.
Dispatch fighters to monitor airspace.
Welcome to our 252nd Mount Tantus trespassing episode of MandoVision. I am your host, Nargai Tom, and thank you so much for checking out our small independent Star Wars podcast. Reach out to us on the socials. We're at Mando_Vision on Twitter and Instagram. Email the show, MandoVisionTom@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, follow, and share the show with all the Mandalorians in your covert. All right, Bucketheads, we're back, we're here, and this is it. This is the penultimate episode of the final season of Star Wars, the Bad Batch. And again, I've been really liking this ramp up over the last few episodes, this kind of building of the dramatic tension as we get to that series finale next week, this week actually, as I record this. And I have, you know, again, I know a lot of us Star Wars fans can be impatient, but I really enjoyed the build-up here. I'm excited. I'm on the edge of my seat every week, and I'm just getting pumped up and fired up. And listen, and because of that fired upness, because of that pump upness, we're doing two episodes this week. Get ready, because when that final episode drops, this podcast will be there to cover it, because I have hated the schedule we've released shows on for this series this past time around. It's too long. The episode's dropping. I can't get you guys an episode until Monday or Tuesday at the earliest, and I can't stand that. So, we'll make up for it with the series finale. You'll either get it first thing Wednesday morning or sometime Wednesday afternoon. That's the part that has to be figured out, but it's happening. Two episodes this week. Get ready, because I'm going to want to talk about that final episode, and you're not going to be able to shut me up. And speaking of things you can't shut me up about, one, and this is my own tripwire that I've fallen over. For some reason, like the last two episodes, I've skipped over a note, the same note, that we haven't talked about yet, and I definitely wanted to make sure it was mentioned today, because we've been seeing these shots, right, of the Tantus facility. We're getting all these new shots of the facility, and recently, one of these shots has shown a second facility. What does this mean? Hint at? What does it foreshadow? Probably that no matter what the Bad Batch does, Mount Tantus will not be shut down completely. I think it still keeps hope alive for those of us who are fans of the Timothy Zahn book series, that the Mount Tantus plans that happen in those books could still come to fruition. There could be more cloning going on. There could be my friend Reagan's good buddy, Joris Seabath, as he likes to call him. But who knows? But it does lead to, like, hey, just because the batch is, we're focusing on this one, and Clone Force 99 is going to infiltrate this one, what are the chances that one of them survives? Maybe. But as this episode shows us, there is a wild card in all of this, and we will talk about that, because it is One of the most lingering, most asked questions since Star Wars The Clone Wars ended, and we'll get to it. You know what it is already, because you know where I'm going to go. But we'll get to it in due time. All right, Bucketheads. I think that's it. I guess I should mention just real quick that since we last talked, I've been gone for a week. And if anyone out there is a bourbon enthusiast, I just spent 5 days in Louisville, Kentucky, drinking fine bourbons and spirits. And I recommend going very highly if that is something that you are into. It is all these distilleries have insanely impressive operations. The food in Louisville is awesome. You can also go to the Louisville Slugger Museum. You go see a Louisville Bats AAA baseball game. Obviously, the Kentucky Derby is coming up this week, so we did a tour over at the racetrack over at something Downs. I already forgot the name. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not a big horse guy, but went to the racetrack, got to see some horses. Louisville, fun place, good place. The university runs that town. That cardinal is everywhere when you go around that town. Anyways, all right. So that being said, enough plugging you all to go on vacation to Louisville. All right, let's get into our podcast. Let's get into our show. Let's talk about Star Wars. You know what that means, Bucketheads. It is time. Strap on your buckets. Let's go.
What is that? Laser cannons.
Doctors, there is a base-wide security alert.
Follow lockdown protocols. I'll secure the lab. Monitor the children in my absence.
Your concern for the specimens is unwarranted.
What's going on?
They found me.
Who?
My brothers.
Oh, I love that line. I love the way Omega drops it. Because he's, I don't know. I don't know about you. It got me pumped up. I was fired up. I was excited. I was ready to go. Now, as you may have noticed, I messed up. I put the cart before the horse. We got to get the episode particulars out of the way. And you know what that means. Let's do it. All right. This is Star Wars The Bad Batch, Season 3, Episode 14, Flash Strike. Original air date, April 24th, 2024. How about that? You like that? You like that? 4/24/24? You know you like that. Written by Brad Rau, directed by Nathaniel Villanueva. Our cast for this week's episode, of course, D. Bradley Baker, Michelle Ang, Helen Sadler, Ivan Shinitskin. I'm still messing it up. Sorry. Jeffrey Bohm, Jimmy Simpson, Keisha Castle Hughes, Matthew M. Garcia, and of course, Nasheer Dalal, who is a delight in this episode, FYI. And Shelby Young, of course, returns, and the venerable Stephen Stanton also in our cast for this week. Our amazing plot description for this episode. Odds are against the Batch as they operate behind enemy lines. Of course they do. So the episode opens up much like we expected it to. We catch up with the Batch in hyperspace, still in the bottom of the science vessel on its way to Tantus. Hunter has some pretty bold ideas of how easy it's going to be to infiltrate the planet. He's got a plan for everything, but of course, Hemlock security protocols are pretty stiff. Now, as the Batch enters Tantus orbit, airspace, I still like them to clarify if the planet is Wayland and Tantus is just the name of the base. I really would like a little bit more clarification on that, or if we're changing things and it's just Tantus is the planet as well. Love to get a little bit more clarity on that. What happens next is, again, Rampart warns them that the proximity sensors are going to let them know they're not going to be able to stay undetected for long. I really thought we would see the Batch employ what they learned from Fee. And I really was a little, I don't know if disappointed is the word I want to use, because I thought they had maybe set that up for a specific reason so that the Batch became aware of how she could stealthily drop into these planets undetected. But that is not the way they want to go for this season finale. There would be no stealth infiltrations of Tantus. No. Hemlock prepared for the Clone Force 99's arrival, and we get action immediately. Aerial combat. The shuttle being pursued by fighters, and it's great. I think it's a really cool action sequence. They are taking damage pretty heavily, and it leads them to having to use rappel cables to drop into the jungle in an attempt to throw the Empire off. That they're going to be on the ground, and again, it's a deception. It's a ruse. It's an illusion. Eventually, the Empire will figure out once they check the shuttle crash that there's no bodies in it. But this buys them time. This buys them time to infiltrate, to make it to Tantus. And it's a great sequence, and I really, really enjoyed Nasir Dalal's performance here as Rampart, just screaming his brains out as he's in this situation where he's on the rappel cable. The device that lowers them is broken. Him screaming his head off. It's kind of cool that now, again, I've mentioned this before in previous episodes, but I really enjoy Rampart sort of being humbled the way he's being humbled, and now kind of becoming the comic relief of these episodes. It's very amusing, and I really, really appreciate the way Nasir Dalal is bringing the thunder with his vocal performances on this one. So, we still have one problem, though. Echo is still in the science vessel, and Hemlock and everyone knowing that they've been infiltrated, it's time to kind of bring the Imperial thunder. Even the science vessel is not going to be taken for granted.
Step aside. This cargo must be offloaded at once.
We're here to search this vessel and check everyone's clearance.
That was already completed at the orbital station.
Hemlock's orders.
Fine.
I love the way that line's delivered. The fine. Because like Hemlock's name carries weight, and Imperial officers probably don't care for taking orders from scientists. So that sounds about right to me. We should also mention that the tension continues between Dr. Scalder and Dr. Emery Carr, as again Emery shows concern for the subjects in the Vault of Children, and Dr. Scalder is keen to point out that it's unwarranted. Gosh, he's not a nice person. So, again, we're going along that line, and it pays out faster in this episode than expected, Emery is going to make a choice, and we'll get to that when it happens, because it is a big deal. It is a big turning point for a couple characters in this. Well, mostly for Emery, but we'll get there. Let's go back to the jungle here, as Crosshair and Wrecker, now separated from Hunter and Rampart, begin to make their way through the jungle. And I like this sequence again as Crosshair sort of talks a little bit more about Tantus and his not being super keen on being there, but why he is going to be there.
Shall we break calm silence?
No. We continue toward the base. Hunter will head that way too.
Are you sure we're headed in the right direction?
I've been here before. It's not a place you forget.
You broke out of here once. At least this time you're breaking in.
I'd rather not do either. But Omega didn't leave me behind when she could have. I owe her.
And that rustling you heard was the sound of Hunter and Rampart connecting back up with Crosshair and Wrecker. So now we'll cut back to Echo, still on the science vessel. Now he's donning the armor of the stormtroopers. Again, that kind of cool in-between stormtrooper armor that is, you know, post-Clone Wars, but pre, you know, A New Hope Imperial, stormtrooper Imperial armor, the one that's very heavily inspired by the original Ralph McQuarrie designs. Very, very cool look. So Echo's donning that, but he's missing a key component here, and he's about to get it because a droid by the name of RA-7-81, who's in control of this jurisdiction of the ship, is about to question why Echo is there. And he has a component that Echo's going to be able to put to good use, his droid hand. So now that Echo won't have his Borg-like droid parts showing, so he can now complete the illusion of being a stormtrooper. It's a funny bit. I love it. When he blasts that droid and he grabs his hand and just like clicks it on, it's pretty cool. Covering the scum camp. Did I get that right? Can't remember everything. I'm trying here, friends. All right, but yeah, it's a neat bit. and I was delighted by it. Now we're going to cut back to the kids in the vault, and even they are aware. Again, the Empire is all about routine and predictability and all these things, and even the kids have noticed that something is amiss.
Why haven't our vitals been taken today, and where did everyone go?
I don't know. This is weird.
I need to scout out what's going on, and this is my best chance before the others come back. If something happens and I'm not back in time, cover me.
Cover you?
What does that mean?
Keep watch. If the droids come snooping, stall them.
How?
You'll think of something. I'm counting on you.
So now it's time for Omega to once again breach the vault and make her way through the walls, through the facility. And I love the way this is sort of executed, and it's a little bit later on in it, but they do a really great job of sort of building this moment of where Dr. Sadler is going to work her way down in to inspect the children and do the vitals and all these things. And we all think that Omega is still in the walls and still doing what she's doing, observing and getting reconnaissance and intelligence, things that she can put to use for their escape. And again, the kids don't know how to cover her. They just were made aware. You know, we're not brought up the same way that Omega has been. So the idea of stalling and buying her time is a little bit new to them, especially in the light that like they're gonna have to, you know, lie and potentially have to deal with repercussions for that for whatever lies they tell to give Omega the time that she needs. But that pays out a little bit later. Let's cut back to the jungle where we're about to get Crosshair and Rampart having a conversation. And I, again, just showing the arc of Crosshair since he began in season one to where he is now. Crosshair might have had the most interesting arc of all the Batchers in the show because, you know, again, for the first two seasons was basically the enemy of his brothers. And to see where he's at now, it's night and day, and I love it. I think the development on this has been outstanding. So let's go ahead and hear him play and drop some big knowledge, some big learning on Rampart.
You fall behind, you get left behind.
You used to believe good soldiers followed orders.
Depends on who's giving them. The Empire betrayed us both.
And you think you can fight them? That's not you. You're like me, loyal to no one but yourself.
I've changed.
And I don't think Rampart's so sure about that. I think Rampart still thinks Crosshair might be someone he could count on when it's time for Rampart to, I believe still, inevitably betray Clone Force 99. I could be wrong about this. Again, Crosshair just pointed out that the Empire betrayed them both. But I think Rampart still wants to get back to that Imperial lifestyle that he had grown so accustomed to. So I still think selling out Clone Force 99 is on the table. I would be pretty shocked if Rampart makes the hero's play in the final episode and sort of sacrifices himself for Clone Force 99 or Omega or these children. You know, maybe there is something in Rampart's background that we don't know, that we don't understand. And like, if he sees what they're doing with these kids, maybe it triggers something in him that we are completely unaware of. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Rampart in this final episode of the show coming up next. So now we cut back to the jungle and Clone Force 99 trying to carefully and stealthily evade the stormtroopers that are sweeping for them in a pattern of some sort. And I love it. I love that the sort of cat and mouse going on here a little bit. The way the Clone Force 99 has to keep shutting up Rampart before he gives away their location, but still kind of spur him forward at the same time. And then they reach the base of this sort of rock wall that they need to scale to get where they're going. And Rampart sort of pouts off to the side and ends up waking up a sleeping Dryax. And that can't be good for anybody. But again, Nasheer Dhalaal is in top form with his comedic chops in this one because he drops some great lines in this one. My favorite might being probably the you know, our position won't matter if that thing eats us, because again, Hunter doesn't want to start blasting this thing and drawing stormtroopers to where they're at. But again, Rampart quick to run away, quick to scamper away as Clone Force 99 engages the Dryax in as stealthily a manner as possible. But of course, Rampart running away comes across a gang of stormtroopers, which means Rampart has sort of given away their location, and we get into a great crossfire battle in the jungle between stormtroopers and Clone Force 99. The action ramping up in this episode again. That building of the question: will Clone Force 99 make it to Tantus? Meanwhile, Omega's got her own thing going on. She's planning her escape. She's not sitting idle waiting to be rescued. She's gonna do her part to get those kids out and all the clones that are still in the Tantus base. But what's about to happen next is pretty, pretty, pretty huge. I should also mention it's at this point that Rampart does get captured by Imperials before we cut back to the base. Again, the kids have to do the stalling now. Saddler's down there taking the samples. Omega would appear to not be where she's supposed to be in the cell. They're trying to buy her time. It's not going well. We catch up with Omega in the walls. And what does she see? The most unanswered question in the history of Star Wars The Clone Wars. What happened to the Zilla Beast? Well, we found it, my friends. We found the Zilla Beast. And if you don't think that creature's getting busted free and going to cause some serious problems, you're going to be really upset with yourself for not catching that one. Oh, baby. Here we go. The Zilla Beast on Tantus, which, again, we knew was in a secret science facility. I can't wait to see. I'm trying to remember if they teased this in earlier episodes of the series, of the Bad Batch. But again, we know the Emperor's has had the Zilla Beast under study for quite some time. So here we go, friends. Get ready for some Star Wars Godzilla-like action. I can only imagine coming out next week. So again, we talked earlier in this episode about that second facility that seems to be adjacent to the facility that we're focused on here in Tantus. Will the Zilla Beast just cause mass havoc and destroy all these facilities once it's been sprung from its the tank that it's being held in? And again, we remember, the Zilla Beast grows mighty, mighty, mighty quick. So get ready, because that beast may look a little small now, but I can only imagine how quickly it'll grow once it starts absorbing all the energy of what the Empire's going to throw at it to try and contain it. We'll see how that works out. Or perhaps Omega and the Bad Batch themselves are what contribute to maybe getting the Zilla Beast up to size to do some serious damage at Tantus. But after the Zilla Beast discovery, Omega does make it back to her cell in the vault in time for Dr. Saddler to collect those samples and not be too suspicious any more than she already seems to be at any given moment of the day. Now we'll come to the facility where, again, Echo's been making his way into the base, disguised as a stormtrooper, trying to retrieve information wherever he can, and now he's about to come across Emery Carr. And I want to play this scene because, again, this is that moment where maybe Carr realizes that she's been on the wrong side all along.
Troopers are not allowed in here.
It's a special security patrol. It's all clear.
Echo, that's your name, isn't it? Omega talked about you all. I'm Emery.
Omega told us about you too.
She said her squad would eventually come for her.
Not just her. We're here for all the prisoners you've been experimenting on.
I was doing my job.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
You're a clone. How can you be part of this? Omega saw something in you. I want to believe that she was right. Tell me where she is.
She's in the vault. But you won't get anywhere near there without my assistance. If we're gonna free those children, you're going to have to trust me.
Wait. What children?
Omega's not the only child confined inside this base.
Oh, I loved it. That was so great. Again, they're just building and building and tightening the screws, and I love it. It's great stuff. And trust me, that's why there's going to be another episode of this podcast after that final episode, because I want to be here to talk about when all this pays off and whatever fallout there is. Cannot wait. Let's go ahead and check on the kids. Again, Rampart captured, Bad Batch still in the wind, but on the run. And now we'll catch up with the kids, because Omega has a plan.
That was too close.
What took so long?
I found something big. I have a plan, and I'm gonna need your help.
Yeah, she found something big, all right. It don't get much bigger than that Zilla Beast. Woo! That's the episode, friends. That's 8 buckets. 8.5 buckets. 9 buckets. Oh, that is Star Wars goodness right there. I am so fired up. I am so excited. I cannot wait for the episode to drop. I'm going to be up late watching it at midnight here in California when it comes out. And that's why it's very likely that once that episode wraps up, I'm going to be on this podcasting device talking about my thoughts, my feelings. My broken heart? Question mark? To be determined. But yes, my friends, good, good stuff. And one quick correction on this episode. I credited the writing on it to Brad Rau, and it is, in fact, Matt Mishnevitz, who's done so much great writing on this series. So not a total surprise there. I'm not quite sure why I was mistaken on that. I must have taken the wrong note at the wrong time in the wrong place. But yes, my friends, we have built up to something that I think is going to be pretty special, pretty epic, and pretty gosh darn exciting. And I am going to be here for it. We're all going to be here for it. Oh, the question is it going to be happy or is it going to be heartbreak? You know, again, Omega, the embodiment of hope in this period of the dark times. Are we getting a hopeful ending? Are we getting a heartbreaking ending? And again, CX2, we don't know yet. CX2 has to be put into play at some point here in the final episode. We have to get the questions answered. Who's under that mask? And will it be, again, tragedy? We find out that it's been tech all along. Commander Cody, any one of the another clones, an unknown clone, perhaps. Like, there's a lot of different directions for this to go out, a lot of different questions to answer. What will be Hemlock's fate? What will happen to Tantus Base? All the research and data they've accumulated and put towards the cloning of new bodies for Emperor Palpatine, because I still strongly believe that's where we're going with this, despite other people maybe suggesting otherwise. But yeah, we got a lot to get to, and I really hope that this is a long final episode, like maybe 2 episodes worth of show, because, again, I think the action's going to be on point. I think the intensity's going to be on point. The character development's going to be on point. But we got questions we need answered, you know? And, again, we've not heard confirmation if this is just a launching point to another Star Wars animated show after this. We don't know yet. It's not been put out there. Now, again, Saturday, May the 4th. It's right around the corner. We'll get this information, I suspect, very, very soon. Rumors abound, but I like to wait for hard evidence, concrete evidence. You know, them coming out and saying, hey, FYI, this will be out on this date and this time. That's what I'm waiting to hear. That's what I'm waiting to get fired up about. All right, Bucketheads, I don't think I have anything else for you, because this has been just another great episode of Star Wars The Bad Batch. I have loved this final season. I think they've done an incredible job of just really keeping things escalating from the first episode of the season to now. We've just been building to this moment. And I cannot wait for that finale. Wednesday morning, midnight here in California. I will be up watching it because I have to know. All right? Like I said, I'm in that 8.5, 9 bucket range. I'm loving the way it's building. I'm really enjoying that. So stick with us. We'll be here on Wednesday to cover that episode, the finale of Star Wars The Bad Batch. All right, reach out to us on the socials. You know we're at Mando_Vision on Twitter and Instagram. Email the show, mandovisiontom@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, follow, and share this show with all the Mandalorians in your covert. If your podcasting platform allows it, please give us those sweet, sweet, sweet 5-star reviews. They truly help the independent shows like us stand out, not get lost in the intergalactic cosmic shuffle, which is not a dance, I promise. All right, Bucketheads. We'll be back this week, Wednesday. Whether in the morning or the afternoon, TBD. But we will be back to cover that season series finale of Star Wars The Bad Batch. Until then, remember, this podcast can only end one way. This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
I suppose you'll be heading out.
I'm not.
You should.
It's against the creed. I gave you my word. I'm with you until we both fall.
You really buy into that Bantha fodder?
I do.